Baby oysters could be the canaries in the mineshaft for another dimension of global warming, that from Pacific Northwest scientists who are studying how the oceans suck in excess carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. The process changes seawater chemistry locally and globally. An experiment now underway in Seattle aims to find out which sea critters can or can't cope with the changes. You can think of Paul McElhenney's lab as an ocean time machine.
In one of the tanks, we're simulating pre-industrial conditions, so before people started burning fossil fuels.
McElhenney is a federal biologist working at the Northwest Fisheries Science Center in Seattle.
And then this tank here is the current, where we are now. And then
multicolored tubes and pipes run every which way in the cramped aquatic lab. The researcher controls his time machine by bubbling carbon dioxide into the seawater at different concentrations.
And then the next tank over from that, we're setting the conditions of a doubling of the current CO2 levels at about 750, which the models that have been done project that we'll reach by 2100, by the end of the century, or before.
There's one additional setup with an even worse scenario. McElhenney explains the oceans absorb a big chunk of the CO2 we pump into the atmosphere. This is the lesser-known twin of atmospheric warming. Scientists call it ocean acidification.
As the CO2 that's put out by burning fossil fuels goes into the ocean, it changes the chemistry of the ocean itself and makes it more acidic. Sort of the same way that if you have carbon dioxide in a soda pop, that makes the soda pop more acidic.
So are there likely to be winners and losers in the ocean?
Yeah, the ocean acidification is not going to affect all species equally.
McElhenney's team is trying to find out just who wins and who loses. He says on the one hand, algae and seaweed could prosper under elevated carbon dioxide levels. On the other hand, shellfish in the larval stage seem quite vulnerable.
And if the acidity gets low enough, they can actually start to dissolve.
It's really hard to see.
First into the bath, baby oysters. The little creatures are taking an extended dip now with the ghosts of oceans past, present, and future. Next up, abalone, gooey ducks, clams, mussels, and krill. Grad students check the tanks and jars every day to monitor how many larvae survive and in what condition.
The larvae are now swimming. They've hatched.
At Oregon State University, researchers are waiting to hear if the National Science Foundation will provide money for a similar experiment. Fisheries professor Chris Langdon says oysters are likely to show the effects of a more acidic ocean first.
From what we can tell is that the larvae of the Pacific oyster, which is Crassostra gigas, seems to be much more sensitive to what's going on than larvae of mussels or clams. So they are kind of the canary in the mine shaft.
Pacific Northwest oyster growers already report having serious problems with oyster seed survival. They blame it on acidified water. Chris Langdon says a frustrating discovery is that it's hard to get high levels of dissolved carbon dioxide out of seawater once it's in there. So where does that leave people like Western Washington oysterman and clam grower Bill Dewey?
The likelihood of turning it around anytime soon is not good, so we're definitely in, for our industry, we're in the adaptation mode, trying to find things that we can do to the seawater chemistry in our hatcheries to allow us to produce the seed.
Researchers hope to explore possible water treatments for aquaculture farms. And Dewey says he's heartened by the scientific attention directed at his industry's problem. Separately, Norwegian, German, and British scientists are looking at how marine species from their waters respond to rising acidity. American researchers met recently with counterparts from the United Kingdom to coordinate experiments and discuss how best to model the future of the world's oceans. Another area with high vulnerability are coral reefs. They're already showing the effects of a warmer and more acidic ocean. For purposes of science, the rub, though, is that corals are harder to keep alive in a lab. But there are important reasons to keep trying. For one, coral reefs are vital breeding grounds for many fish. And although reefs cover less than 1% of the seafloor, they support about 25% of all life in the ocean. For VOA News, I'm Tom Bonsi in Seattle.